is Free Talk Live. You are invited to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. And of course, as always, you can take control of the airwaves. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, it's Ian,
Nikki,
and Aria.
And normally, Aria, you are in the driver's seat on a Wednesday night, but tonight you barely were able to make it into the studio. For our listeners that didn't get to tune in last night, it had something to do with what we did in our after show.
Yeah, I'm sort of having flashbacks sitting here. Like, I put the headphones on. I was like, oh, God, they're still going to be sweaty from last night when, for those who didn't watch, I ate a habanero followed by a ghost pepper followed by half of a Carolina Reaper.
Habanero, you had no problem with. You didn't even have to go for the milk.
Right.
Ghost pepper, you probably went through like a tenth of the milk. And then when you got to the Reaper, which you only ate half of, you definitely downed like another third of that jug of milk.
Yeah, I downed close to half of a gallon of milk last night. And yeah. I mean, it doesn't really help unless you're actively drinking it. So yeah. It's not a pleasant experience. And of course, then I was up this morning vomiting, even though it was long since.
My God.
Out of my stomach, but
now did you
not
vomit
pleasant.
The last time you did the Reaper challenge?
I did not.
Hmm.
And I think the difference this time was just the quantity of peppers that I ate.
But last time you did two Reapers, didn't you? Didn't you eat two
that's
whole
true.
Reapers?
That's true.
This time you only ate a half plus a ghost pepper and a habanero.
But this one was fresh, right?
That's true.
So I think that
think
makes
that makes
a difference. I think it does.
It wasn't any hotter than the dehydrated one.
Last time you did this was you were at home. You did your own video stream, I think, of it.
Yeah.
Did you find that this was more disruptive during the overnight, meaning you were staying up in pain more this time than you were last time?
Oh, yes. Okay. I slept fine last time.
Oh, really? Okay.
It hurt the next day.
Yeah.
But I slept through it just fine, and that was not the case last night. For those
wow.
who want to watch us suffer... You can find it at video.freetalklive.com.
That's
You mostly watch Conan suffer because...
It's really hard.
Yeah, that was really intense. I was not expecting that reaction from him.
And you're a nurse, Nikki,
yeah.
and I'm glad you were on hand last night. I mean, we didn't plan for you to be here. You just kind of came over.
Yeah.
Conan, no one has seen this reaction. People were looking online to see if there was any other reaction like this. He was unable to open his hands... So he was like clenching his hands to some extent, although it wasn't a true clench because he could like touch his fingers with his like arm and move them.
He just had no control over his fingers.
Yeah,
it was a weird nervous system reaction that I've never seen before. I mean, he could barely speak. At one point, I was like, "Is this guy having a stroke?" Like we literally
yeah.
did like a stroke
he
test
did sound
on
like
him.
It. Yeah. He sounded like
Conan. I'm Conan.
I had a friend who isn't in the medical field suggest that he went into shock to protect the rest of his body.
Mm. Yeah, that could be, actually.
And he also described it as that he was tripping, basically. He was
he
on
did.
Some sort of a very strange high, which was both painful and... Well, and then he said later that the pain had subsided completely, but the symptoms that he was having were with him for like a half an hour, it seemed like, afterwards. So... The pain went away, and then he was just, like, crippled for a short period of time.
I tend to think his body just, like, shut off the pain receptors, however that works, because it was too intense.
It was pretty wild. I'd never seen anything like that. Luckily, he got better. You say you've spoken with him today.
I have.
He's doing okay.
He's doing better than
better
I am.
Better than you. Okay.
Yeah. So
that's interesting. So he had more of an immediate reaction and you had more of a
long term,
yeah.
But he
I knew that was going to be the case. The last time I did this, I was fine eating them that night and it was the next day that I was like, "No, I'm never doing that again." And that's because you feel it going through your GI tract and it's horrifyingly painful every step
exactly
of the way.
Where it is.
Yeah.
The whole time.
And having experienced that again today, I'm like, "Yeah, this time's for sure I'm never eating another Carolina Reaper."
But that's what you said last time.
Yeah, I know.
Well, anyway, if you want to see it for yourself, head on over to video.freetalklive.com. It's the most recent show, unless you're listening to this later, and then it will be the one prior to this one. So check that out. There's all kinds of interesting stuff in the news. One of the stories we didn't get to last night about the Southwest Airlines pilots that have been successful in getting Southwest to change its policy about vaccination mandates, plus In-N-Out Burger refusing to enforce San Francisco's vaccine mandate as well, and they're speaking out about this, which is really cool.
Statement is awesome.
Yeah, we'll share what they had to say here, plus the metaverse. What is it? Well, Facebook is pimping it, so you know it's probably bad news. But then on the other hand, Facebook is also being threatened by the government over their crypto, quote-unquote cryptocurrency, which I'm still not sure if it's actually a cryptocurrency or not. But we can talk about all of those things. Your calls and thoughts are certainly welcome. The number is 603-283-6160. But of course, I think the news that all three of us wanted to mention here tonight, and I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot to say about it, but Bitcoin, once again, has hit a new all-time high.
Yep, since last year, April 14th. No, this year, April 14th. Yep, and that was 64,000 something.
It was 64,900, if I according to the research that I did. And today it almost hit 67, I think.
Yep. Yeah, it was close up there.
Yeah. So 66, I think, is where it's floating at around right now.
I'm still expecting to see 100,000 by the end of the year. I would be shocked if we don't see it.
That's doable.
Yeah. That I mean, especially at this doable. Rate. It's up something like 10% in the last week or the last month or something. I don't remember. Because I can't just pull these up and monitor them. I have to go off secondhand information, but it's up significantly.
Yeah, I can give it to you here. Actually up 60% in the last month.
Yeah.
60. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. A month ago, it was down in the 40,000 range.
Yeah.
Wow. Low 40s.
I think at one point, it was about there. And then I didn't check it for like a few weeks. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, it went up $15,000 since the last time I checked.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. It just jumps.
So, stocks are also at an all-time high.
Stocks are?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I think is more evidence that Bitcoin isn't really going up right now.
It's the weakening dollar.
Yeah. The dollar is getting weaker.
Some would say the dollar is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
That certainly seems to be the case.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel sorry for people that are holding off. Something else I saw today, Aria, it was Charlie Schrem, old school Bitcoiner. He posted on Twitter. Remember back in April, May of 2020 when you were on the air suggesting that people take their stimulus, $1,200 quote unquote stimulus payment, and put that into cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
Do you know what that $1,200 is now worth? If you put it all into Bitcoin BTC, go ahead, take a guess.
$8,000.
$12,000.
Oh, wow. Well, hopefully 10X. Someone out there took that advice.
Yeah, 10X in 1 year, like a year and 5 months. Pretty
impressive.
Yep. Pretty amazing.
I mean, there's no other asset or class of things on the planet that matches Bitcoin in its value returns.
Yeah, and you know, Bitcoin, will it be on top forever? Probably not. At some point, I think there's going to be a Bitcoin killer. I don't know what it's going to be. We have no idea. It could be something that hasn't been invented yet, or it could be something that's sort of sitting down in the, like, you know, way down the ranks of cryptocurrencies in the 200, 300, 500 range that all of a sudden just blows up. I mean, I'm not saying this is it, but a good example of this is like, this isn't even really a cryptocurrency, but one of those things, it's a good example of a thing just blowing up. The Shiba Inu. I mean, have you heard about this?
Dogecoin?
No.
No, there's a new one, right?
Somebody came out with a weak-ass copycat of Doge a year ago, called it Shiba Inu.
Okay.
But it's just a token. So Dogecoin is its own cryptocurrency.
So this is like an ERC-20
token?
This
is just another token.
Okay.
But they labeled it Shiba Inu, and they put a little Doge icon on it, and then 1 year, 1 year later, the thing is going crazy. It's a top 13, like it broke into the top 10 last week.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's just just another useless token. But because it's the meme, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I, you know, once again, I'm just terrible at doing any kind of, you know, Bitcoin investing. I should have, when that thing came out, been like, oh, internet loves this thing. Should just buy some. Somebody said if you put $1,000 into Shiba Inu a year ago, you'd have like $200 million.
Wow. Right
now. Wow, that is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Just nuts.
I mean, it's also true about Dogecoin. If you had put $1,000 into
that's
it like 4 or 5 years ago, it would be worth millions.
But the crazy thing is, it's now competing like neck and neck with Dogecoin.
How's Doge doing these days? Last I heard it was like 22 cents or something
like that. It's just floating around there. But this thing has risen up to, like, challenge Dogecoin at this point. And it's not even a real cryptocurrency. It's just a token. Somebody went to a token generator and said, blast me out of, I don't know, 500 trillion of these things. Because there's a ton of them. We're coming up here. You can join us, 603-283-6160. We'll talk about those companies pushing back against the mandate on the way. It is Free Talk Live, and as always, you're invited if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Nikki,
and Aria.
Hey, you don't want to forget about Bitcoin.com. If you are seeing this craziness about Bitcoin right now with the price up to $66,000 as we speak, a record high reached today, close to around 67. So it is for everyone who purchased some amount of Bitcoin prior to today and held on to it, you're up.
Yep.
That's just the fact at this point. So if you didn't panic sell during one of the many, drops, because Bitcoin goes up and Bitcoin goes down, if you didn't panic sell, you're ahead.
Better to panic buy.
Congratulations on being ahead if you did that. So, but go to Bitcoin.com. If you're brand new, if you're listening to this and you're saying, all right, I put this off long enough, I need to learn about Bitcoin, get over to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started at the top of the page, and that will take you some videos. You can watch the first one there. I think it's going to be 3 minutes of your time. That'll give you the basics about what is it that makes this different? What is it that makes Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, because they focus on those two, because there's thousands of cryptocurrencies out there and it can be super overwhelming, but keep it simple. Just what are the basics of this technology? What do you need to know that makes it different from everything that has come before? And that is what you'll learn when you go to Bitcoin.com and click Get Started at the top of the page. Plus, if you're not brand new to crypto, anyway, get the latest news headlines and information about the world of cryptocurrency, go to news.bitcoin.com. That's news.bitcoin.com. So we were discussing just sort of generally the amazing success of Bitcoin, and right now, in fact, let's see what the current, because there's some interesting statistics out there, and one of them is the market cap, of Bitcoin. So what that means is there's currently, I think, like 18, 19 million Bitcoin in existence. There's going to be a maximum of 21 million down the line. Right now, 18.8 and change million Bitcoin. You take that number and you multiply it by the current price, and you get the market cap, the total value of all of the Bitcoin in circulation, allegedly in circulation. Some of it's lost forever, but we don't know how much that is. And it's currently over $1.2 trillion. Yeah. It crossed the $1 trillion mark a little while back. I saw somebody post today online that apparently if Bitcoin, or when, I guess, Bitcoin crosses like in the early 70,000 range, I don't remember if it was like 73 or 75,000, but like once Bitcoin gets through $75,000, Bitcoin's market cap will have exceeded the market cap of silver.
Nice.
Wow.
That's pretty big. In fact, Bitcoin's market cap also, I believe, if it's not Bitcoin, it might be all of crypto. But I'll have to double check this. I think it's just Bitcoin. It is, I believe, now the 13th largest money on the planet. Like, if you look at all the government monies out there, I think it just, like, exceeded Sweden as far as the krona or whatever it is that they've got over there, the value, the market cap of that government money. And so when you compare it to the other governments on the planet, it is, like, ranked at number 13 right
now. So there's more money in Bitcoin than there is in Sweden?
That's correct.
Nice. I wonder where the USD ranks.
I'm going to guess that's number one, but I'll have to pull up. I'll see if we can find the list. I don't remember who it was that shared that one, but just some fascinating, little tidbits out there about this this amazing thing that, honestly, Bitcoin itself, it's not the most useful of cryptocurrencies. It's sort of turned into like a digital gold where people want to get it and hoard it and not really do anything with it because of the crazy fees that you have to pay. Although right now they're not as crazy as they have been, although you're still probably going to pay like a buck or something like that for a Bitcoin transaction, which is
not bad.
To me, it's a dollar too much. I mean, it really, you should be paying like a cent or 2 cents or something like that to move cryptocurrency around. So
I mean, that tells you how broken Bitcoin is, that, you know, the transaction fee is a dollar. And I'm like, oh, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
But I've also seen transaction fees of like $20, $30 and stuff like that.
Me too, yeah.
It's been a while, but that will likely come back as the insanity ramps up again as more and more people start to jump on the train. Because as we've seen in the summer, or not the summer, but in the fall and winter of 2013, and then again in 2017, and then again last year, we've seen these run-ups at the very end of the year. So, you know, and we can't predict the future. There's no guarantee that the same thing's going to happen in 2021. But if it's anything like the last few run-ups, that's why you said, Ari, you're thinking 100,000 by the end of the year. If it holds true to what it has done, then that's very realistic, I think.
I hope so.
And then we can get rid of the laser eyes.
Yeah.
from social media.
I know.
So you can bring up what you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. There's always a bunch of stuff in the news about cryptocurrency. In fact, we talked about this plan by Facebook to launch a cryptocurrency. You guys remember a couple of years ago, I think it was like 2019.
Well, they're launching a digital currency. That's about all we know.
Yeah, it's changed form in a few different ways since they first announced it. Originally, it was going to be like this consortium of different corporations that was going to come together to still make it quote-unquote decentralized, but it was still run by a bunch of corporate entities. So, like, whether or not it's actually cryptographically secure and decentralized, I don't really know what the current structure of it is, but regardless, Facebook wants to do this thing, and they made the mistake of coming out and announcing it in advance and saying, look, we're doing this thing. We're going to come out with this thing.
Well, they needed investors. So they didn't need investors,
no,
they but
really
they wanted it. Investors.
Yeah, and they already had some people, like, you know, that they talked to privately. They didn't have to make a public announcement about it, but they did.
And I don't know how it would have gone over if Facebook and PayPal and Visa and all of these other companies were just having secret dark room communications about it, smoking cigars.
It probably would have leaked out at some point. But if they hadn't have announced it, then they could have just released it, and then they wouldn't have had to go through this, you know, horrific governmental process that they have to go through. I mean, look, I don't feel bad about anything Facebook has to do. But at the same time, I also don't like the idea of government standing in the way of anybody doing whatever it is that they want to do. And
well,
so,
it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
I tend to agree
with that.
That's
true.
And now, according to various different websites, CoinDesk and Cointelegraph, among them, a group of senators say that Facebook cannot be trusted to launch a digital currency. In a Tuesday letter, U.S. Senators blah, 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 and Elizabeth Warren and some others ordered Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg to, quote, immediately discontinue the company's pilot of Novi, which is intended to be its name for the wallet that they're coming up with, and end its work on the Diem stablecoin project. The lawmakers said Facebook cannot be trusted to protect user data or manage a payments network in an open letter Tuesday, just hours after Facebook announced that it was launching a pilot program for its Novi wallet subsidiary in the U.S. and Guatemala. Under the pilot project, Facebook will let users purchase Paxos dollars and custody the funds with Coinbase. Quote, we urge you to immediately discontinue your Novi pilot and commit that you will not bring Diem to market, the lawmakers wrote on Tuesday. And I've actually got the copy of the letter itself here, just to give you an idea of these people and who they think. They just think they can tell anybody what to do. As though,
well, they're power-hungry psychopaths.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about this, and then get some of the good companies out there that are refusing to obey the government, which I really love to see that happen. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
When Monster Hunter International discovers one of Isaac Newton's wardstones being auctioned off, they decide to steal it and use it to destroy the Chaos God once and for all. But a mysterious thief upends their plan, and it soon becomes a race against time as something much older and infinitely more evil awakens in the jungles of South America. Monster Hunter Bloodlines by New York Times bestselling author Larry Correa and Bain Books. Visit MonsterHunterNation.com for more.
Free Talk Live, you dial in here if you want to join us. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, you got Ian,
Nikki,
and Aria.
And of course, you can bring up anything that's on your mind. We've been talking a little bit about cryptocurrency, and that led into a discussion about the latest on the Facebook quote-unquote cryptocurrency that they are going to be offering to people called Diem. And they've changed the name. It was going to be Libra, I think, and then it was Diem, and now they've got a wallet that's called Novi. And apparently they're moving ahead, and that has really upset some of these government goons in the U.S. Senate. And they sent a letter to Mark Zuckerberg, and I've got the actual text of that letter here just to give you some idea of, you know, just how pushy these people are, how much they think they own you and your companies, and that they can just boss you around even without any law. Because this is just five senators writing a letter. This isn't like...
Yeah, and they have no authority to enforce anything they've said in their letter.
Have you read this thing?
No.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter what they said.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Senators don't have the authority to do what they're... Whatever it is they're threatening.
And legally, Facebook can do this, right? Like, Facebook isn't breaking any laws by...
No.
...creating this wallet and this digital currency or cryptocurrency or whatever.
From what I can tell, they're not. I mean... You know, Facebook's got a ton of lawyers.
Yeah, of course.
And so, like, those lawyers have been doing all of the necessary research to make sure, all right, can we take this step? Okay, can we take this next step? All right, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it, and that's why these senators are... It says it's an order, but it's not an order. It's just begging. It's just, please don't do this, and trying to sound tough about it. So we'll share that with you coming up here. But, of course, your calls and thoughts go first. Let's go to Dave in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Dave from RidleyReport.com.
Hey, guys. I called yesterday, you know, to update you on the executive council fiasco where they arrested all those people in New Hampshire.
You mean the completely, like, peaceful people who weren't even really protesting in any meaningful way? They went up and arrested two people who were sitting down during this public executive council meeting where they were going to potentially approve $27 million from the federal government in COVID stimulus money or whatever that was going to be used if they accepted it to pimp the vaccine here in New Hampshire. And two people were just... Two of the, quote, ringleaders of the activists were just sitting there in the audience, and cops came up and arrested them and then subsequently arrested seven more people who might have spoken out after that. But that's what you're referring to. That happened last week. And then the good news was the executive council actually voted 4-1 to reject the $27 million from the federal government, making New Hampshire the only state of all 50 states to have rejected any federal COVID money, which is amazing.
So this notice that I just got from reopeningh.com, which is run by a free stater, I believe.
That's right.
He's very close to the top. He founded it. I should back up a little bit. The news yesterday, of course, was that they were going to try, this governor was going to try an end run, and the bureaucracies were going to try to go through a fiscal committee, the fiscal committee, instead of the executive council initially, and then the fiscal committee would take it back to the executive council to try to get another vote. I think that's my understanding of what the new threat was of them taking this money.
But it would still have to go through the same executive council who I presume would realize that they're being asked to take on the same $27 million, and hopefully they would do the same thing, because I don't think these activists are going to let up. I don't think if they hear that there's going to be another try on this $27 million, another few hundred activists are going to show up to that next meeting and remind these executive counselors that they're not going away. So I don't think this would get through a second time. But what did you hear?
So that was the threat yesterday. Reopen asked people to flood the committee with emails. They did. I even sent emails to the whole committee. I got a response too. But apparently they've already backed down. The bureaucracy that was going to push it through has already withdrawn the request for the committee. And so they have another victory. I was shocked they were able to achieve that so fast.
That's awesome.
They've got a good organization there at Reopen NH, and it's all been created within the last year or so. So kudos to them.
The important thing, I should probably read this. They said that this money would have funded 13 new agents dedicated to promoting the vaccine to people who don't want it. You know, so you
wow.
just imagine these 13 agents wandering the streets of New Hampshire, stopping people or going to people's doors or you know what, and there are other problems with this money, but really, ultimately, no money should be accepted by any state from the federal government because it's all stolen property.
No doubt about it. Dave, anything else you want to share?
No federal money, I guess I should say.
Anything else, Dave? Thanks, man. Appreciate the call tonight. That's Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. Let's go to Major Payne, calling from Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Major Payne.
Hey, peace, people.
Hey.
Yeah, you've intrigued me with your edits tonight. I'm thinking about the crypto cat busting the silver wall.
Yeah.
But I want to give kudos first off to New Hampshire for not taking any government money. I have never sucked on the 1816 teats that the government pig seems to throw in your face, but that's a whole other story for another day. The whole thing, I think that most realists disagree with on the cryptocurrency is silver has antibacterial properties. I can make a belt buckle, I can make an arrowhead, I can make anything. I can make the most conductive solder out of silver.
Right, sure.
But crypto is fairy dust, and it's hard to wrap your head around it.
Can you send silver in an instant to somebody halfway across the world?
No, I can't, but I have very little faith in the inner tube. I mean, okay. People get hacked.
Hey, it's
all
not
the
for
time.
Everybody, bro. I mean, I'm not here to convince you to do something you don't want to do. I'm not here to try to sell you on some sort of idea that you can't see any value in. If you don't see the value in being able to transfer value in an instant to somebody somewhere across the world, you don't trust it. Well, then probably nothing I say is going to help you with that. Like, if you think the entire internet is not trustworthy, then okay, don't do it. But if you
plus
also
with silver, I mean, you have to worry about it getting intercepted or stolen or untrustworthy
some
carriers.
Some customs guy's going to jack your silver if you try to send it across the world. You could probably send it across the country fairly safely, you know, because they need a warrant theoretically to open up your mail here in the United States. But on the other hand, if you were to understand that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are what they call open source, which means that the source code, the programming, can be read and audited by anybody who knows programming, and I don't. I could have gone that direction in my life, but I chose not to. I chose I wanted to do radio instead of, you know, be a programmer. Aria, do you do any programming at all?
Not in a level that would let me understand the Bitcoin source code, no. Yeah.
Nikki, I presume.
Yeah, definitely not.
But we know people who are that level of geek, and they are, you know, more than willing to look into these things. Bitcoin is probably, as far as open source code is concerned, probably some of the most, if not the most, looked at code on the planet. And the reason why is because there's money behind it, right? There's a lot of money. $1.2 trillion worth of value is behind Bitcoin. So you better believe that there are a lot of people out there that want to make sure that there's not some CIA backdoor in this code, or that there's not something other janky going on with this code. They want to make sure it's rock solid and that it is trustworthy.
And as far as we can tell, that's what they've determined.
Yeah. And the proof of it is it hasn't been hacked.
I've already been violated on the internet. I just got done dealing with the Social Security Administration. Many years ago, I was shanghaied by the feds out west, and I never got my wallet back from the property room. Mm-hmm. So about a year later, I got a letter from the state saying that during the year I was incarcerated, that somebody had made a whole lot of money and I owe $2,000 worth of taxes to the state of Michigan. They put a lien on my property.
Oof.
Okay, so I work under the table most of the time.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. Well, in that case, you might want to look into something called Monero, which is what they call a privacy coin, which is untraceable internet money. But Major Payne, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. You know, if you don't have the time to look into it, if you want to stay the way you are, then stay the way you are. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You're invited if you want to join us here. You can take control of the airwaves. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And want to let you know about Intercoin as well. I've told you about Intercoin before. It can help you if you've got a business or an organization, launch your own currency or raise money using your own token. And now Intercoin.org has launched worldwide. If there's a token you want to launch or an app you want to build, you can go to Intercoin.org and enter your email there, and the team will get in touch and learn about your needs. And while you're there, if you want, you can get some of the Intercoin investor tokens for yourself over at Intercoin.org. All right, so we're going to continue with the news about this Facebook coin thing that they've been developing for a while, which originally they had said it was going to be a basket of currencies, sort of averaged
together.
Well,
they said it was going to be backed by a basket of currencies.
Right, right.
I'm really confused what they're doing here because they said they're using the PAX dollar.
They canceled that idea.
Yeah, but they're using the PAX dollar, right?
That's what they're doing now. But so they threw out the basket of currencies.
What role is Facebook playing in this then?
They're the promoter.
Of Paxos coin?
Basically, what it sounds like at this point. So,
and they're being held with Coinbase rather than Paxos.
Apparently. Yep. So for listeners that don't know, Paxos is one of the myriad of different stablecoin issuers out there. So a stablecoin is what?
It's a coin that's value doesn't change, or is it supposed to change?
It's backed by a thing, right? So in the case of Paxos dollars, presumably the company Paxos has a bunch of actual dollars in a vault or a bank account somewhere. And they could have something that's sort of the equivalent of dollars as well, like U.S. treasuries or something like that. So some of them try to kind of do investments with the money and still have quote-unquote dollars. But basically just...
Oh, like fractional reserve banking, basically.
Well,
they don't really have the money anymore, but on the books, they say they do.
I mean, it's the U.S. Treasury. What are the chances that could ever fail?
Looking pretty good with that trillion-dollar coin they're still talking about.
So the idea is, Facebook is apparently just, they've completely gone out of their original design, which was going to be their own thing, and it was going to have all these companies on board like MasterCard and PayPal, and it seems like that's just all been thrown out at this point, and now you can just get Paxos dollars under this pilot project. So maybe it's going to change in the future, but... It's just a stablecoin wallet. Facebook's going to give you a stablecoin wallet. That's what they're going to do.
Okay, not as awful as it could be.
No, no, and they should be able to do this. And to have these senators freaking out over this. Let me just read to you the actual letter from these various senators, including the one from Massachusetts. What's her name?
Elizabeth Warren.
Warren, yeah. Dear Mr. Zuckerberg. Policymakers are once again facing a scandal involving reports about Facebook's relentless pursuit of profits at the expense of its users. The most recent...
That's what they exist to do, though, is to make money.
Yes, but they're hurting their users, you see, and so therefore they're bad.
Their users are welcome to stop using Facebook if they feel like they're being hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, unlike the people being ruled over by these senators.
Yeah, I would love to hit the stop button on the senators and have them never, and all their goons never talk to me again.
That would be wonderful.
They say the most recent allegations detail Facebook's knowing use of algorithms that harm adolescents and teens, particularly girls. Facebook has repeatedly shown itself indifferent to the harms its products cause. Given the scope of the scandals surrounding your company, let alone the scandals surrounding these senators or the government or, you know, killing innocent people, let's just put all that aside. I love it when these people act like they're some sort of moral authority towards anyone.
Well, they believe that they are.
Yeah.
Because they are the legal authority.
Because they're mentally ill.
They're psychos.
And might is right.
We write to voice our strongest opposition to Facebook's revived effort to launch a cryptocurrency and digital wallet, now branded as Diem and Novi, respectively. In October of 2019...
So wait, they are still launching Diem?
Whatever that's going to mean.
It's very unclear.
Yeah. In October 2019, Senators Schatz, great name for a senator, and Brown wrote to members of the Diem Association's predecessor, the Libra Association, and expressed deep concerns about the risks the project posed to consumers and the financial system. See, they really believe that Facebook is going to destroy the financial system.
I understand their concern. I mean, Facebook is honestly,
it's big,
more powerful than the American government if it really came down to it.
Certainly more people interact with Facebook's product on a daily basis than they do any kind of government service, right?
Or with the USD. I mean, Facebook is worldwide. Something like a little over half the people on the planet have a Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
So they're huge.
Facebook subsequently shelved Libra amid regulatory scrutiny, but you did not address our concerns before resuming this endeavor. On multiple occasions, Facebook has committed not to launch a digital currency absent federal financial regulators' approval. In prepared remarks before the House Financial Services Committee in October of 2019, you said that Facebook would, quote, not be a part of launching the Libra payment system anywhere in the world unless all U.S. regulators approve it, unquote.
All?
That's allegedly, that's a quote from Zuckerberg. They're writing to Zuckerberg here. More recently, David Marcus, the executive overseeing Facebook's digital currency efforts, said, quote, we are definitely not going to launch without the proper regulatory framework, unquote. Despite these assurances, Facebook is once again pursuing digital currency plans on an aggressive timeline and has already launched a pilot for Payments Infrastructure Network, even though these plans are incompatible with the actual financial regulatory landscape, not only for DM specifically, but also for stablecoins in general. The agencies that oversee the U.S. financial system are studying the risks that stablecoins pose to financial stability. They're saying, whoa, Facebook, you're going way too fast here. You can't just be coming out with a stable coin. It could destroy all of the other stable coins and the financial industry.
Facebook has done less evil things than destroying the American financial system.
If Facebook could destroy the American financial system, I'd go out and buy some DM. Like if I thought that it would actually, you know, do something like
I'm
this.
I'm with you, man. I can't now, but I was initially planning on buying some because why the hell not?
Good point. It's a probably a cryptocurrency, so my bail conditions would prohibit me from doing that. But if it's not a cryptocurrency and they still think it would destroy the financial system, I don't like Facebook. I don't have an account on Facebook.
I like Facebook more than I like the American government.
Yeah, although that said, I'm not willing to create a new Facebook account or reactivate my other Facebook account to do this. So I'm just saying,
if it was going to bring down the American financial system,
but
would
it's
you
not
do it?
Going to. And that's the thing. These people believe that it could, and I find that particularly amusing because all Facebook is proposing is to just have another stablecoin. They're just proposing to new. The whole basket of currency thing is off the table. They said they wouldn't do that. Now, maybe they'll change their minds and decide they're going to do it again. But as of the last I've heard, DM is just supposed to be Facebook stablecoin based on the dollar. So and how is this going to hurt the financial system? I just don't understand. Why do they think?
Well, because people would trade in DM via Facebook and Facebook Messenger, which, you know, more than half the planet uses, rather than trading in USD or PayPal or Cash App or any of these others, because they're, imagine how simple it would be to just open Facebook Messenger to click your friend's name and immediately send them money.
Right, without having to put in a bank card or something like that.
It would be extraordinarily easy, and it would be a game changer. As evil as Facebook is, that level of technology would crush the competition.
I don't know if it would crush the competition, but yeah, I mean, it would definitely be a new competitor, and it would make it easy for Facebook users, because I remember they were coming out with the Facebook payments thing.
They still have that.
Yeah, they have
that, yeah. Yeah, it was right around the time I was leaving, I think, Facebook in 2018 or whatever, so I've seen people sign up for it. I've seen the process, and like you have to have a card, right? Like a debit card from a bank, and you got to go through those, jump through some hoops, and so this would change that, but is it going to kill the banking industry? Is it going to kill the Federal Reserve?
I doubt it.
No. It's going to be a competitor. And they're acting like this thing is the end of the world for them, and it's frankly ridiculous.
See, I think that it could be. If Facebook used their own platform to promote their little payment system that they're creating that uses Paxos or whatever, or Diem, I don't know that the U.S. government or any government could counter the propaganda and be like, no, you should continue using USD.
But they are going to be using USD. It's a USD-backed stablecoin. This doesn't take away power from the USD. All it does is it makes it so the banks don't get money out of this.
Right.
The bankers aren't involved in the transactions.
Yeah, but that would bring down the American financial system if the banks just stopped making money.
Well, the banks have a lot of problems to deal with anyway. True. But and this is going to be a burden, but I don't think it's going to be as big as they think it is. But I want to go on because they've got some specific complaints against Facebook. It's actually a relatively short letter, considering it's from politicians. So they're relatively short-winded in this particular case. We'll share some of their other complaints here, what they think is going to happen with this Facebook currency. And if you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Is your broken heart stopping you from being authentically happy? My name is Jeremy West, and for a limited time, I am running a free online class to teach you what most people don't know about how to deal with your feelings, the simple way to deal with your negative thinking, the key to breaking your unhealthy relationship patterns, and so much more. No more feeling like a failure who will never find true love. No more self-medicating and ending up feeling even more miserable. And no more feeling like you'll never be someone who deserves an amazing partner. Sound good? You'll discover a new way to finally feel validated and loved. To stop trying to get your self-worth from the very people who tear it down. And to put you in control of your own happiness so you never surrender that control to another person again in as little as 8 weeks. Register now for my free online class at beyondyourbreakup.com/free class. That's beyondyourbreakup.com/free class.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You're welcome to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about the Facebook coin thing that's now called DM, but it was previously known as Libra. And actually, we haven't talked about this probably in like most of a year. I feel like it's been a while.
There hasn't been a lot to say about it.
No, I didn't even know there was any motion on it at all. Until all of a sudden it splashed back into the news because some U.S. senators have co-written a letter, a scathing, shaming letter to Mark Zuckerberg. Now, look, I want to make it clear. I'm no fan of Facebook. I quit Facebook I think it was New Year's Eve of 2018, so ending 2017, going into 2018, I shut down my account there on Facebook as much as they would let you. They don't even let you delete the account, or at least back then they didn't. You have to deactivate the account because they want you to come back. But and I walked away from it. I'm glad I did. You know, I immediately had more free time to do more productive things. I'm not a huge fan of the product that they have, and I want to encourage people to get away from Facebook. But if they can actually contribute to the destruction of the U.S. financial system through creating a dollar-based stable coin, which there's already billions of dollars worth of stable coins in existence today. If I were to go to, you know, coin market cap and just look at the top coins out there, Tether, which is the number one U.S. dollar-based, quote, U.S. dollar-based stable coin. Some people don't believe Tether has the reserves to actually back there.
Really?
That's a big thing with Tether, yeah. 69 billion Tethers exist, supposedly backed by 69 billion U.S. dollars. And you go down the list a little bit to USDC coin or USD coin, which is Coinbase's dollar-based stable coin. There's 32 billion of those. And you can just keep going down the list. You had to Binance dollars to it, which is the number one exchange in the world. 13 billion Binance dollars. So there's now, I believe, over $100 billion worth of stable coins in existence.
Oh, at least.
Now, I don't know how many, you know, Facebook is planning on minting into existence.
Depends on how much money they have.
Yeah, that's true. So, but that's what they're talking about here. These senators have written a scathing, shaming letter to Mark Zuckerberg to basically try to convince him to stop at this point.
They haven't really provided any reason yet, any law that he's breaking.
No. No.
They just said, we don't want you to do this.
Yeah. And the weird thing is the media in both Cointelegraph and CoinDesk, which are two of the major cryptocurrency media sources, they're both reporting on this as though they've been ordered to stop. And this isn't an order. This is just a letter.
The Senate doesn't have the authority to tell people they can't do something. They can pass a law that says they can't.
Which they have not done.
But individual senators can't just say, no, you can't do that.
So let me go on here with what they're saying. So, Arya, they're saying here that It is a threat to the financial landscape. They say that they're considering how to address these risks to the U.S. financial system and the risks that stablecoins pose to financial stability. And they want to clarify regulation and supervision of these products. As Federal Reserve Chair Powell said of stablecoins at a July 2021 Senate banking hearing, quote, "They're like money funds, they're like bank deposits, and they're growing incredibly fast, but without appropriate regulation," he said. Acting comptroller of the currency...
Because of the lack of regulation is why they're growing so growing. Quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And the good news is regulation comes real slow.
It does.
And government moves real slow. And they by the time the government has figured out how to regulate stablecoins, there will be decentralized stablecoins that will not be subject to the regulation. In fact, these already exist. One of them is called DAI, spelled D-A-I, and another one is called UST on the Terra system, which they're both very interesting. I can't begin to explain to you how they work. It's one of those things where you got to like watch an introductory video, and that'll kind of give you a basic overview of how these things work. But there is no central store of dollars with either of those two.
So there's nothing the government can do about it.
That's right. There's no bank account they can go raid. And there's, where are the corporations located? I suspect if they're smart, they didn't put it in the United States. So they're going to have a real problem dealing with sort of decentralized finance versions of stablecoins, which are the next step. Which one of them will end up being? And I think there's more than those two. I just don't
know
offhand.
I'm sure there are.
What they are. There's different approaches to doing this out there. But anyway, so she goes on, or they go on, they say, the acting comptroller of the currency, Hsu, I guess that's the person's last name, recently likened stablecoins to the wholesale funding markets whose collapse precipitated the 2008 financial crisis. Quote, in terms of known knowns, a run on a large stablecoin could be highly destabilizing. Huh?
Not if they have the money to back their stable coin.
It's just so clear that they have no clue how these things work.
Well, I think Aria is onto something. If they are lying, if the stablecoin maker is BSing and saying that they have $60 billion, dollars in a vault, but they've only got $20 billion, and then somebody calls in an order on $30 billion of them and says, I want my dollars, and then they can't provide it.
That's the only way a run on these things could happen.
That would be a problem. But it would only be a problem for that one guy or whoever the people are that are trying to make the claim on those coins and the corporation. The rest of us will not be affected by that. If you don't have those stable coins, if you're not holding those stable coins.
Well, I think it would destroy the value of your stable coin.
It would destroy that stable coin.
Yeah.
But if you don't hold that stable coin, you will not be affected by this.
Correct.
So, going on, Mr. Marcus has cited Facebook's success in securing, quote, licenses or approvals for Novi, which is their wallet, in nearly every state, and concluded that Novi is ready to come to market. To be clear, your ability to secure state-issued money transmitter licenses is not equivalent to obtaining the blessing of all U.S. regulators, as you said in your testimony 2 years ago. In addition to the risks...
So, Facebook got a license to do this in all 50 states.
Most of them.
Okay. And the U.S. government, the senators are like, we don't care that these states have authorized you to do this. We're more powerful. We're more important, us five people.
That's actually what they believe. Yeah. They believe the U.S. government is more important than all the states and that the federal law
overrides. Not just the U.S. government, them personally. These five individuals think that despite these some number of states saying, okay, yeah, that's fine, that these five individuals, these five normal people have the authority to say, no, you can't do that.
That's what they want Zuckerberg to believe, at least. Whether he will actually take this seriously, I hope he doesn't, but two more paragraphs. In addition to the risks, products like Diem pose to financial stability, you have not offered a satisfactory explanation for how Diem will prevent illicit financial flows and other criminal activity.
Neither have they with the USD.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, cash is completely untraceable.
And it's used in plenty of illicit activity.
Sure.
Why does Facebook have to solve a problem that they can't?
Well, but remember, this is all about how they're perfect and Facebook is the problem. So you have to ignore all of the bad things that the federal government does.
I have a hard time doing that.
And pretend like these people are angels. And that's the way they are acting. And it's ridiculous. But here's the thing. we had pointed out that the DM, or whatever they're going to call it, the Facebook coin, is going to bypass the banks. And that's ultimately, I think one of you were saying it off the air, that's what they're doing here. Like, the banks wrote this letter.
Yeah.
Right? Was that you that was saying that? So the banks are the ones who are threatened by this.
Sure.
Because right now, when you send somebody money over the little Facebook money symbol thing on their Facebook Messenger service, you're going through the banking system because you have to put in a credit or a debit card number. And that means that every transaction that you make is actually an ACH transfer, which is stands for Automated Clearinghouse. And that is run by
the banks.
The Federal Reserve. The bankers are the members of the Federal Reserve system. The Federal Reserve is the ACH and wire transfer system. So whenever you send a wire transfer to somebody, or whenever you send a Facebook money or some other form of, you know, money transfer between bank accounts, that's going through the Federal Reserve. That's why it doesn't work on the weekends. That's why it doesn't work on, you know, overnights. You have to wait. That's why ACH takes 2 to 3 days, business days, to fully clear into your account. Yeah, it may show the transaction as, oh, look,
pending.
So-and-so's sending you this money, but it ain't actually there yet, because you're counting on the centralized government. Facebook will bypass that with this new system, and that's one of the things they're really mad about. This is Free Talk Live. Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on this Facebook coin, or the Diem, as they're calling it. Although it sounds like they're just sort of like in an introductory testing phase. Right now, apparently the plan is that they're going to allow users, and I don't know if they're going to just open this up to all their users at once, or if it'll just be, you know, a select group of users. I don't know what their plan is exactly, but they're apparently close to starting this thing to get the what's called the Paxos dollar. And this is one of the various different stable coins out there on the market. In fact, I thought I heard Paxos was renaming it. Did you hear anything about that?
I'm not very up to date on what's happening in crypto circles.
Yeah, I think they might have renamed it already, because I'm just looking here at the list of cryptos and it's not searching for PAX doesn't bring it up. But anyway, they're going to let people get the stable coin and then presumably send it to one another.
Oh, and, the horror.
Yeah. And the senators are acting as though this is a huge threat to the financial system, and that they'll, oh, we got to be concerned about illicit financial flows and other criminal activity. They say you haven't offered a satisfactory explanation. This is a letter from 5 senators written to Mark Zuckerberg. As though Facebook isn't working with law enforcement on a daily basis and turning over all kinds of data to government law enforcement whenever they ask for it. I mean, that's ridiculous. Of course they are. Their WhatsApp or whatever, their little messaging system, they have all the logs to the Facebook Messenger.
Absolutely.
If law enforcement wants to ask Facebook to get all your entire messaging history, they can do that. And Facebook, you know, is going to turn it over. So what makes them think Facebook wouldn't cooperate with handing over your financial history as well? That's all going to be public.
There's also the reality that if someone is using one of these, if they're using Paxos coin, whatever it's called now, to engage in some sort of illicit activity, they're not going to use the Facebook wallet for Paxos in order to do that. That would be stupid. And I mean, there are a lot of stupid criminals out there, but you would almost have to go out of your way to use the Facebook wallet in those cases.
Okay, they rebranded it to USDP. So it used to be called PAX, P-A-X. Now it's USDP. So that explains why I couldn't find it with Paxos here. But let me go back to the last bit of their message to Mr. Zuckerberg. The Intergovernmental Financial Action Task Force warned in a report to the G20 finance ministers that stablecoins, quote, propensity for mass adoption, meaning they think people are going to be interested in stablecoins, makes them more vulnerable to be used by criminals and terrorists to launder their proceeds of crime and finance their terrorist activities, unquote.
Isn't that the entire reason the current banking system exists? So that the United States government can launder money and fund terrorist activities? And isn't that like the one thing they are actually surprisingly good at? They shouldn't be doing it, but they're good at it.
And people who've studied the, you know, like criminal people out there and what they are using find that they're using cash. They're not using Bitcoin or stable coins or whatever. And
because they're all traceable, and most stable coin transactions are actually reversible as well.
That's a great point. So, yeah, if they're using, and as you say, most of them, I think some of the decentralized are not reversible, but USDT certainly is, USDC certainly is, I guarantee you Paxos is as well, which means that when law enforcement goes to Facebook and says, we're going to need to see the records of Mr. X here, and you're going to show us what all transactions he or she did, and then they say, well, we believe this transaction was a money, money laundering, and we're going to need you to reverse that transaction, they'll be able to do it.
No serious person engaging in illicit activity is going to use this. Certainly not the terrorists that the U.S. government has spent the last several decades creating.
Absolutely not. And it's just clear that this whole letter is just them grasping at straws and trying to find excuses to put a stop to this project. And they're just, they really have no ground to be even demanding any of this from Facebook or Mark Zuckerberg.
Which is why they're just... They don't have any grounds, right? Like, that's the whole point of the letter is we have no legal basis to stop you from doing this, but we want you to stop. Because don't you want us to be your friends? Don't you want us to like you, Mark?
Aren't they, like, trying to force them to change the Facebook algorithm or something like that?
There's been talk about that. There's not, like, you know, I don't know how...
I don't see any reason why Facebook should cooperate with these people at this point.
Well, that is true. Facebook did beg to be regulated. You're right about that. That was another story we talked about recently where Facebook, with this, there was like this Facebook leaker, this quote whistleblower who came out and said, oh, Facebook's so bad with their algorithm and the algorithm should, you know, not promote certain controversial things and it should only be, you know, showing you the posts from your friends and not the most active ones or whatever, right? Like they had recommendations and Facebook said, well, we don't agree with this whistleblower on all the things she says, but we do agree that it's time for regulations. So Facebook wants to write the regulations,
of course,
for the internet. So look, I don't want to make it sound like Facebook's a, you know, a good company or anything like that, but in this case, the government's worse. So going on here. So they're talking about, again, the terrorism. They always trot this stuff out when it comes to crypto and stable coins. It's terrorism,
even though
terrorism.
The Department of Justice has routinely said, hey, that's not the case. Most of the cryptocurrency transactions are actually completely above the board.
The President's Working Group on Financial Markets said in December 2020 that stable coins, quote, are likely to attract illicit actors and without appropriate mitigation measures allow evasion of key public policy objectives. Unquote.
But that's fundamentally not true. It's not going to attract illicit, whatever the terminology,
actors
because the transactions, again, can be reversed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they say finally, and Facebook's decision to pursue a digital currency and payments network is just one more example of the company moving fast and breaking things, and in too many cases, misleading Congress in order to do so. Time and again, Facebook has made conscious business decisions to continue with actions that have harmed its users and the broader society. Facebook cannot be trusted to manage a payment system or digital currency when its existing ability to manage risks and keep consumers safe has proven wholly insufficient. We urge you to immediately discontinue your Novi pilot and to commit that you will not bring Diem to market. Signed by five different senators.
I mean, all of those allegations they throw at Facebook are equally applicable to the government.
I actually trust Facebook more to keep whoever financially safe that wants to use this than I would trust the government or banks.
But you see, Nikki, they're not a bank. So therefore, they can't be trusted like a bank. The banks have gone through so much regulation.
I have never seen any reason in my entire life to trust banks.
The banks are regulated. Don't you see there's the Bank Secrecy Act?
They're regulated by a government that I've also never seen any reason to trust.
There's the Patriot Act. These things are helping keep people safe and stop terrorism. If it weren't
for the
Bank
Secrecy Act. Bitcoin is doing more to stop terrorism than anything the U.S. government has done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bitcoin, not bombs.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. I just thought that was an interesting letter from these senators. Just these people are so full of themselves, they really do believe that what they say goes, even though there's no laws that Facebook is breaking here.
No, they're not going to get any law passed to prevent Facebook from doing this because...
Before they get it done, that's for sure. So they're literally begging. This isn't an order. This is begging. They're begging Mark Zuckerberg to not bring this product to market.
Bring it forward anyway, dude.
I hope he does. I really hope he does.
Because they think it could destroy the U.S. financial system. And you know what? I wish him the best.
I don't think it's likely, but I will say that I could see its possibility.
603-283-6160. Let's talk about some corporations, shockingly, going against the government. Southwest Airlines and In-N-Out Burger. We got the details coming up.
When a lunar observatory detects a radio broadcast originating from Proxima Centauri, the nations of Earth discover their first contact with an alien race may also be their last. With the Proximans facing an extinction-level disaster, Earth must choose between sending a ship on a multi-year journey or allowing nature to take its course. Saving Proxima, a hard science fiction thriller by Travis S. Taylor and Les Johnson. From BaneBooks.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything you want here. We got a little bit of good news coming up with walkouts happening at hospitals. Ari is going to share that story with us, plus the walkouts at Southwest Airlines appear to have been successful. In-N-Out Burger going up against the San Francisco government and their vaccine mandate. There's a lot of interesting news to share here tonight. Of course, your thoughts and calls are welcome. The number is 603-283-6160.
I'm not sure to what extent Southwest... I'm really interested in this story because the last I heard about it, they weren't like canceling the mandate or any of that. They were just delaying the deadline at which they were going to put workers on unpaid leave.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well.
So I don't think they really backed down on anything. They just said, we're going to delay this for a little bit.
All right. Well, a delay is better than, you know, nothing. It's definitely,
that's true.
It's definitely a step in the right direction. I've got the story here from CNBC. Of course, your calls and thoughts. You're also welcome to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. Story here is that Southwest Airlines has scrapped a plan to put unvaccinated employees who've applied for but haven't received a religious or medical exemption on unpaid leave as of a federal deadline in December. Southwest Airlines and American Airlines are among carriers that are federal contractors and subject to a Biden administration requirement that their employees are vaccinated against COVID-19 by December 8th, unless they are exempt for medical or religious reasons.
Yeah, but aren't there union agreements in place that prevent airlines from just changing the terms of the employment?
There are, and that is one of the things that I think we pointed out on a recent episode, that at the pilots union, the Southwest Airlines pilots union, they're making the stand on this thing and saying, hey, you can't just change our contract like this.
Yeah, that's one of the strong points of being in a union.
Yeah, there's a certain time where the contract comes up for negotiation, and if you want to try to renegotiate the terms at that time, then you could try that, and then maybe we'll agree to it, and maybe we won't.
So what can the union do if Southwest... Strike? They can't sue or anything like that?
But remember, the thing that happened here, presumably they can sue as well. I mean, if there's a violation of a contract, then yeah, that would be a tort, right?
Yeah.
But what they were saying the other week was the union, when the Southwest was canceling like 25% of its flights last week, the official statement from the union was, well, there's no strike going on. This isn't a union thing. We're not doing anything here. It's not our thing. So what was happening there supposedly was the Southwest Airlines pilots, some of them, who had sick time, were using their sick time together.
So I would use my sick time as well if I thought my employer was about to fire me.
Yeah,
the smart thing to do.
So that was sort of what supposedly was actually going on, and then Southwest was trying to cover for it by saying it was weather related, and now we have this move by Southwest where they're backing off a little bit. Now, apparently the rules for federal contractors are stricter than those expected from the Biden administration for large companies, which I think, Aria, you said, and we reported on recently, wasn't even a real order from Biden. It was just a press release, apparently.
Although I have a story about the mandate, but it still hasn't been finalized yet.
Right.
There is no mandate.
On it. Yeah, they're still working on it. So it was just an announcement of a thing that they're planning on doing. But yet these companies are just hopping to, and they're like, all right, let's fire everybody who's not unvaccinated.
Even though we already have a staff shortage.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Executives.
It's just bringing the economy to a halt.
And that's,
it seems like that's what
they
want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I asked yesterday, if they were trying to bring the economy down, what would they be doing differently?
Yeah.
Great question. If you want to answer it, 603-283-6160. Executives at both American and Southwest have in recent days tried to reassure employees about job security under the mandate, urging them to apply for exemptions if they can't get vaccinated for a medical reason or for a sincerely held religious belief. The airline, although we've heard from people...
Who gets to determine whether or not a religious belief is sincere?
That's a great question, because we've heard from people who've called this show saying they got fired after they tried this stuff. They tried to go for a religious exemption or whatever, and they were just like, nope, you're fired.
Yeah, but it's the religious person who says this is a sincerely held religious belief,
right.
And you don't get to say, I don't believe you. I mean, you can choose not to believe them, but it's screwed up to say, no, I don't believe you, you're fired.
And it's hard to write up these exemption forms. I mean, in some cases, I've seen one of the ones that my coworker wrote, and I'm like, she actually had her uncle, who was a lawyer, write it up.
Wow.
So it's
like really complex is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's either that or you risk them not accepting it. I mean, it has to
You still risk them not accepting it.
Exactly.
Even with an attorney. Do you know if she's been approved or rejected?
Not
or
yet, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, let us know.
I have medical and religious exemptions.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
And they accepted it?
I'm not getting the vaccine.
And they haven't fired
me. I mean,
you.
There's no one who can make me do it. They're not going
right.
to fire me.
Yeah.
So... That's just one of the benefits of being in one of these places with no staff.
Yeah, I heard you. I think you said off the air or whatever, or maybe it was on the air, that your boss will just basically ignore it and like pretend like you are.
Yeah.
The airlines are expected to face more questions about the mandate when they report quarterly results Thursday morning. Pilots' labor unions have sought to block the mandates or sought alternatives such as regular testing, which I'm not okay with that either. Like, I don't want to have one of those things shoved up my nose every week just to keep a damn job. I'm not interested in that.
I've never had a COVID test, and I don't want one.
Hell no.
That's not pleasant.
It doesn't seem like it would be. I mean, and if the virus is really that, you know, contagious, why do they have to do all of that to see whether or not you have it?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Wouldn't like a mouth swab be sufficient?
That's a great point.
Otherwise, me talking to people without a mask won't transmit COVID-19, right? I see no reason that a simple cotton swab on your cheek wouldn't be enough to detect the virus if it actually exists in your mouth. And if it doesn't, why are we wearing masks?
Yeah, then how would it be so contagious? And I think, I forget if I covered it on this show, but there's weird chemicals that the Q-tips that they use to do the COVID swabs are sterilized with.
Mm-hmm.
And it,
EO, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like
what's it stand
carcinogenic
for?
And all something oxide.
Mm, I'll look it up
but,
at some point.
Yeah, it's not something you want being stuck up your nose repeatedly every three days.
It's ethylene oxide sterilization.
Yeah, that's it.
And it is, if I recall correctly, it's particularly carcinogenic if it is like taken in through
inhaled, yeah.
your nostrils, yeah. Which is exactly where they stick it.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
So if you just wipe
this
it on
is
your
why
skin,
I don't trust the medical industry because they do stuff like that.
And then I looked more into it, and I don't know if it was like the CDC or one of those organizations. They were like, yeah, it says all this stuff, but don't worry about it.
It's
safe. Fine. It's totally safe.
Fine.
It
Fact
might give
checkers.
You cancer, but like totally don't worry about it.
Oh, No. The official line is, no, it won't give you cancer because the fact checkers have looked into this, and they say that the companies that are sterilizing with EO, they make sure it's all gone by the time it goes up your nose. I mean, it is the one place that you can actually get the carcinogenic effect from, but, you know, you should trust these medical manufacturers.
And another thing that was a little suspicious, so a nasopharyngeal swab isn't an uncommon thing to use to test for certain diseases, except for some reason, we were getting shipped in special COVID ones. So they're allegedly the same exact ones, but we were supposed to use these special COVID nasopharyngeal swabs instead of just the regular ones. I have no clue.
They go into a machine, I presume, right? To test?
Yeah, but the packaging appeared to be the same, but this is when I worked at the nursing home. They sent in like us a whole new package of them, and that was what we were supposed to use instead of the regular ones.
That seems really fishy.
It was weird.
Everything about the last 18 months has seemed kind of fishy, to be fair.
And it's like the stuff like nobody questions it. Everyone's like, nope, we just got to use the COVID swabs instead of the regular ones. Like, are you going to ask why, though?
Probably
like,
not.
I seemed to be the only person that was like, this doesn't seem right. Everyone else was like, oh, yeah, well,
that's what
whatever.
They said. We'll do it. The boss said we got to do this.
It would be interesting if someone just used the regular ones anyway to compare their COVID positive rates to someone who used the special COVID ones. But of course, that's not going to happen.
Well, the Southwest Airlines folks say that if employees' requests for exemption haven't been approved by December 8th, they are allowed to continue to work while following mask and distancing guidelines. So, yeah, I guess you guys are right. This isn't a full-on retraction by Southwest. It's simply it's simply them saying, hey, we can't process y'all fast enough, all of you who've asked for the exemption, so you can keep working until we get to your application.
That's
what it seems like.
We'll see what happens. We'll see if the union steps in because, again, so far, officially, the union hasn't taken any action on this yet, as I understand it. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Open phones if you want to join us here. You can talk about some of the good news from some of these companies, and the In-N-Out Burger story is way better than the Southwest thing.
It is significantly better,
we'll
yes.
We'll talk about that. Plus, walkouts are happening at hospitals. Aria, you've got that story coming up here. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Nikki,
and Aria.
And don't forget, you can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com. We've got a lot of features on our website, including the ability to watch the show. On our Odyssey channel, you can go to video.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right to our channel. And that is where you can see the brutal challenge from last night that we did as an exclusive internet-only show. It was Freer Talk Live, as we like to call it, which we haven't done in months. And so it was a special occasion where Aria, you and Conan, our usual Tuesday night co-hosts, decided to torture yourselves by eating Carolina Reaper peppers.
Yes, it was. I'm still feeling the effects today. I am not 100%. It probably also has to do with the fact that I haven't eaten today, but it's hard to eat when you ate a Carolina Reaper like 24 hours ago.
It ripped you up. And Conan got, I use the term brutal to describe what happened to Conan because it was pretty hard watching that.
It was, but it's also funny.
It's also funny.
It's like you feel, it's like funny, but you like feel really bad laughing.
Because he did it to himself.
I feel bad because I knew it was coming for me, but I did still feel bad for laughing. Yeah.
Check it out over at video.freetalklive.com, and we've got a bunch of archives of all of our shows that go back for I don't know how many years there, but it's all free, so video.freetalklive.com, and you can watch us streaming live on Odyssey as well, so if you're listening, you know, you're available between 7 and 10 o'clock at night Eastern Time, you can just tune us in over at video.freetalklive.com on Odyssey, which is, by the way, backed by the Library Protocol, LBRY. .com is their website, and it's an amazing protocol that is uncensorable. If you want to not be stopped as far as the video content and other content, you can just put up MP3s on there too. It's just sort of content agnostic, actually. It's just a media sharing protocol that is decentralized, blockchain-based, and uncensorable. So check that out. It's called Library, LBRY.com. And again, you can subscribe to our Odyssey channel, which is essentially on the Library protocol. Over at video.freetalklive.com. So here's the good news from In-N-Out Burger in San Francisco. San Francisco, as you guys probably have heard, is one of the most vaccinated, mandated cities on the planet.
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised to hear it.
You can't even go in a restaurant. It's like New York City. You cannot go into a restaurant if you don't provide proof of vaccination.
And ID.
Yeah. Wow.
Every single time.
Yeah, that's right.
Stupid.
I'm surprised if it doesn't go further. I don't know the specifics, but I knew it was restaurants, but it's probably like the gym, the doctor's office, the grocery store probably.
I don't know if they're requiring it at grocery stores, but San Francisco is, I believe, one of the most restrictive as far as places that must accept these things. So there's a handful of cities out there. New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco are the first three, basically, to go down this road. And San Francisco, during the initial lockdowns, was one of the most locked down, if not the most locked down city in all of the United States. They basically have never given up. Like, the lockdown essentially hasn't ended in San Francisco to some extent. I mean, now you can go out, quote unquote, as long as you've got your
vaccine
and show your papers. So it's crazy in San Francisco. But In-N-Out Burger is making a stand. According to thehighwire.com, their chief legal and business officer, Arnie Wensinger, is set to release a statement after the San Francisco Department of Health closed one of the top California burger restaurant's locations. Quote, "Today the San Francisco Department of Health closed our restaurant," he wrote. According to his statement, employees were allegedly, quote, "not preventing the entry of customers who are not carrying proper vaccination documentation," unquote. Beyond the famous California institution's location, properly and clearly posting signage.
You don't pay your average fast food worker enough to be a law enforcement agent.
And that's the point he is about to make here in this statement. So they posted signage to communicate local vaccination requirements. The SFDH, which is the San Francisco Department of Health, has attempted to require In-N-Out Burger employees to act as health police and enforcement personnel for the city. The chief legal officer for In-N-Out explains, quote, "After closing our restaurant, local regulators informed us that our restaurant associates must actively intervene by demanding proof of vaccination and photo identification from every customer, barring entry for any customers without proper documentation."
Like security guards.
That's right.
And not only do these people not get paid enough to act as security guards, but now In-N-Out Burger has to hire extra staff, which I'm sure they're short-staffed like every single other place in the U.S. right now. So they don't. They probably don't even have enough employees to enforce this.
Right. Remember last year when some people were getting into fights at like the Walmart front
doors? Yeah, the last
doors?
Thing any company wants is their employees intervening in something.
And then, you know, having some angry customer push them out of the way or attack them or something like that. Like you said, you're not a trained security guard. You're a burger flipper. Yeah. You're running a cash register. You're mixing, you know, Slurpees or whatever, right? Like you don't, this isn't a high skill profession. You didn't get the job because you know how to check IDs and verify whether or not the ID is legit, or you know what to look at vaccination paperwork, or you want to in the first place. You know, it's ridiculous.
Confronting people is dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's why
especially hungry people. You know?
I know, right?
Walmart employees are told stuff like, "Look, if you see someone stealing, don't stop them. Just, you know, I don't know what they're told to do instead, but they're told specifically not to intervene."
You can call the loss control department usually. There's a particular department at a grocery or at a department store like that that deals with that, and then they'll call the cops.
And that's basically because, you know, intervening in that sort of thing is dangerous.
Yeah. But some 16-year-old kid from San Francisco that works at In-N-Out Burger needs to demand vaccination papers from people.
Right. And, you know, when you get into the convenience store business, so we've got some friends that work in the convenience store business. There's the Mighty Moose Mart, which is near where you live, Aria, they got into the business knowing they were going to have to ask for ID if they wanted to sell tobacco and alcohol, which, of course, if you're running a convenience store, you better, because that's why a lot of people are coming in there. But that means that you're going to be dealing with sting operations. You're going to be dealing with government agents who are trying to send underage people in there. They recruit at the high schools here. They actually go into the high schools.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is absolutely sick. And they try to get these high schoolers to work with the cops to go in and try to make buys at places like this.
What did the students get out of it?
They get paid.
Okay.
Yeah. I suspect it's not that much, but they get paid.
Yeah, but for a high schooler, like $50 is a lot of money.
That's probably what they get. So, you know, when you get into that business, you know, all right, you got to take a class, you got to go and learn about what to look for on the ID, and, you know, you got to have the little chart next to you that says what day is the person 21. If they're there's a lot of things that people do, you know, that to prepare for that. If you're just running a fast food restaurant with no alcohol, which most of them don't have alcohol, you didn't have, this wasn't part of your business plan, was to have a whole staff of people trained on how to ID people. And how to, you know, do this vaccination stuff. So
you should never have to present your identification in order to get a cheeseburger.
Yeah,
I'm just going to take that position.
It's really sad that that needed to be said.
Yeah, that's actually what's happening here. And to this guy's credit, the In-N-Out guy, he says, "We refuse to become the vaccination police for any government. It is unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe to force our restaurant associates to segregate customers," he said. I mean, you want to talk about nailing it in one sentence right there? Kudos to this guy. If there was an In-N-Out Burger, I would be going and shopping there because of this. But unfortunately, I'm pretty sure it's a West Coast only thing, right?
I think so,
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. In late August, San Francisco became one of the first major U.S. cities to require full proof of proof of full COVID-19 vaccination to enter indoor restaurants.
What does that mean,
bars,
in San Francisco? Is that two shots or three shots?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably two.
If it's not three yet, it will be.
Yeah, eventually it will be. I don't think that's actually been rolled out yet.
It'll be whenever the federal government says booster shots are now a thing, that's when it'll become a requirement.
Okay, so when Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson tell the government, hey, look, we're not making much money
anymore.
They're
telling them that.
They are.
Oh, yeah. They're all pushing for it. Even Johnson & Johnson, which was originally marketed as the one shot. Now Johnson & Johnson's like, hey, yep, we want to get on in this booster thing, too. Like, we didn't really mean
money.
Yeah, we didn't really mean that whole one shot thing. Hey, the boosters will help. So it's ridiculous.
I mean, and it's ridiculous how people aren't seeing this. Like, I have people I work with who are like, they were talking about cancer treatments and COVID treatments, and this guy said, well, you can't make money off of COVid, but you can make money off of cancer treatments. What the hell are you talking about? Yeah. Pfizer, Moderna,
they're
Johnson & Johnson,
dough.
They're making record profits.
Yeah. Billions upon billions, hundreds of billions probably at this point. So here you go, Nikki. You were wondering where you're prohibited to go if you're not vaccinated in San Francisco. Restaurants, bars, gyms, theaters, and other entertainment venues. So basically anything you want to go out and do.
So just don't live in San Francisco or New York City, honestly.
Plan. Yeah, there's more coming up here. You can join us. Hour number three is on the way. We'll talk about some of the walkouts, the hospitals. That's coming up. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, you've got Ian,
Nikki,
and Aria.
And we're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. We were talking about the In-N-Out Burger, which they are taking a stand against the San Francisco vaccination mandate. One of their restaurants was closed by San Francisco enforcers recently. And rather than begging and pleading and crying to the masters in government, In-N-Out Burger is just making a stand. And they're saying, hey, quote, we refuse to become the vaccination police for any government. It's unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe to force our restaurant associates to segregate customers. And finally,
there used to be a thing called HIPAA, I think was what it was called.
It's still there.
They're just ignoring it?
Yeah, I guess. The clear governmental overreach is intrusive, improper, and offensive. And I want to get back to the story, but let's go to Dale. He's been waiting patiently on the line in Georgia. Dale, what's on your mind tonight? Go ahead.
Hey, y'all. I'm really curious about Bitcoin.
Yes, sir.
I've done some research, and everything I've read, like on the Google or whatever, is I come away just like it's Moon Man talk. I'm not a critic. I'm just interested. Like when you're mining for Bitcoin, mm-hmm, all right, am I wrong in this analogy that it's kind of like playing Keno with the lottery where you're matching numbers, or is that completely wrong?
It's not complete. It's more like trying to hack a really complicated safe.
Okay.
And you don't actually do anything. So like all the mining is if you get a special piece of equipment, it's a special like computer that is targeted to do one task. At least that's with Bitcoin. There's different types of miners for different types of coins. If we're just talking about the main number one coin, which is Bitcoin, you've got to get a very special kind of piece of hardware. It has to be set up.
Which is very expensive.
Yep. It has to be set up in a certain way. And then it just runs. And what it does is it's trying to, what they call, mine a block or find the block or something. And that involves solving a very complex cryptographic equation, and the odds are you're not going to do it, but you know, every now
it's
and then
crypto
somebody...
coin. Huh? The general term is crypto coin, not just it's not Bitcoin.
The cryptocurrency,
cryptocurrency
is the general. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, I'm getting it.
Go ahead.
How is value applied to it? When you is it just people acknowledge, accept, and honor the value, like you do gold or money or anything, you know, cash?
It's primarily just demand of people wanting Bitcoin that gives it value.
It's the trading that goes on constantly. So it's the same way that gold and silver gets its price, is there are markets where people are constantly trading dollars for gold and gold for dollars and silver for gold and silver for dollars or silver for yen and yen for silver. And right. So there's these marketplaces all around the planet where people trade government monies, usually, for these other things. And so the same thing's happening with Bitcoin, where right now, as we speak, there are thousands of online exchanges that are in business. And I'll get you the exact number here, at least according to CoinMarketCap. Oh, CoinMarketCap says there's only 411 exchanges. I think they're leaving some of them out. But anyway, there's hundreds of exchanges that are in business there.
Can I just get like a couple of $100 of Bitcoin, you know, because I mean, I'm poor.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can.
And just use it on the internet generally, right?
You really can't use Bitcoin in any meaningful sense off the internet, although there are things called paper wallets and physical Bitcoins, which are more kind of gimmicky than anything else. I mean, paper wallets have their use. But, you know, for the most part, Bitcoin's an online experience. So, yes, you can buy a fraction. Yeah, it is interesting. And you can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin. So, yeah, if you've got a couple $100 or $50 or, you know, $100 or whatever, you can buy that amount of Bitcoin and hold on to it. And you can use it if you want, or you can hold on to it and wait and see and see if the price goes up.
It's hard for me to hold on to. Now, so my nephew, he's got a really super gaming computer.
Yeah.
It won't be enough for Bitcoin.
It might be able to do one of the alternative coins out there, of which there are thousands of these things. CoinGecko reports over 9,800 cryptocurrencies are out there right now. So some of them can be used with a gaming graphics card.
Yeah, like Ravencoin or Vertcoin or any of the X16R tokens.
But it'll basically knock out the entire computer's usability. So if you're mining on a computer that normally you would do a word process or play a game or something like that or browse the web on, as soon
running
as you
like overnight.
Yeah.
Yesterday, would that kind of get you a few dollars?
It gets you something. Yeah.
Will destroy that graphics card. Far quicker than, well, I mean, it's running at 100% capacity overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to make sure it's got good cooling, and, you know, it's at some point that fan's going to burn out.
Yeah, it's going to reduce the lifespan severely.
That's awesome. Okay, I get it. I kind of get it. Like, I kind of get string theory.
If you can, I just want to caution you on mining, though. If you have power that's cheap, it might be worth doing as something that's like worthwhile. Otherwise, it's just a hobby. Otherwise, it's just like a thing that you're learning to do and you're experimenting with and you're having fun with.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Like, I did mine a bunch of Ravencoin back in the day and got up to several thousand of them, I think. And Ravencoin was like a tenth of a penny or something like that. And of course, I don't know what it's at now, but it hit like 7 cents at some point or something like that. So if you hold on to it long enough, it's possible that it could prove to have been, you know, profitable.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Is it just people globally saying, I accept this as legal tender? Which is
they're accepting it as
dollar.
They're accepting it as payment.
Let's clarify something, Dale.
So interesting.
Hold on, Dale.
I want to.
Yeah, I want to clarify though what you said, because the term legal tender is a legal term. That is something that governments use.
Sure.
Legal tender is something that only a government can anoint. Right. So when the government says the dollar is legal tender, what that means is dollars must be accepted under the penalty of violence, meaning the government will throw you in a jail cell. Dollars must be accepted for payments of debt, public or private. That's what it means to be legal tender here in the United States. So cryptocurrency isn't, quote, legal tender in the United States, but it's not illegal either to use it as payment. So it's still in the same way that I could give you an ounce of gold and buy a car from you, I could also give you some Bitcoin and buy, you know, something from you as well. So it's not illegal, as I understand it, to use these things, but it's not legal tender.
Man, you've really helped me out. I think I've got a clearer picture of it. It's okay by me. I'll just have to look into it more.
I'm curious. You said you have a son that's got this gaming machine?
No, my nephew.
Nephew, okay. Does he have any crypto yet? Have you talked to him about this?
No, we haven't. You have to get a piece of software. He has the hardware that might kind of do it, but...
Well, I'm willing to bet if he's got a gaming PC, he's pretty tech savvy, presumably.
Probably.
And he probably knows a fair bit about cryptocurrency.
I'm willing to bet
he's probably got some.
He may already have this stuff, which is kind of one of the cool things because, you know, you don't have to wait till you're 18 years old to get into cryptocurrency. There's not some banker.
Well, he's all grown up. He's in your Georgia National Guard.
Oh.
And I don't get to see him that much. Yeah, he's a smart cookie.
Okay.
And
go talk to him and see if he can help you out with this, because there's also sometimes like local groups as well, like local cryptocurrency meetups and things like that. So see if you can find one of those in your area. That's always a good way to get some questions answered. And of course, we're always happy to help here. It's always good to get newbie questions. Thank you, Dale, for the call tonight. These are important questions. A lot of people have these questions, and we're happy to talk about it. So thanks for the call tonight.
The biggest misconception is that people think they have to like buy an entire Bitcoin.
Yep. He brought that one up.
Yep.
So 603-283-6160, you can join us here. Whether you want to talk about cryptocurrency, In-N-Out Burger. By the way, San Francisco Chronicle, within the last few hours, published a hit piece against In-N-Out Burger as a company. There's more coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You're just reading through the hit piece that was released just hours ago by the restaurant critic of the San Francisco Chronicle, just attacking as bad, as you know, dirty as she can against In-N-Out Burger.
And just because a fast food chain.
Yeah, just
right.
Because they stood up for themselves. Because they dared to say, we don't think our employees should be checking IDs of customers that just want to come get a damn French fry and a hamburger.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with that entirely. The idea that society is accepting it as normal anywhere in the United States, that you have to give your ID if you wanted a Big Mac or whatever, is disturbing.
And it's happening, of course, it's San Francisco, where the restaurant critic, I'm just going to read you her bio. Salil Ho's tenure as the Chronicle's restaurant critic began in 2019. It's not much of a tenure. She was previously a freelance food and pop culture writer, a podcast maker, and restaurant chef. She also hosts the Chronicle's food podcast, Extra Spicy, with columnist Justin Phillips. Her seminal work, The Racist Sandwich Podcast, covered the myriad ways in which food intersects with race, class, and gender.
The Racist Sandwich Podcast.
Yeah. That's who this person is.
I have a hard time understanding how food can do any of that.
The people like, making food, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, how is like, oh, here's a slice of cheesecake. Oh, you're being sexist.
And
you know,
racist.
The history of cheesecake is that blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, it was used by Italians
cheese.
To oppress the North Africans, certainly.
Right. Just give me the damn food. I'm hungry, okay? And by the way,
before you eat this cheeseburger, you have to learn the full history of how it was used to mistreat Native Americans in American history.
A lot of the restaurants in places like San Francisco have closed indoors because they don't want to have to deal. Like, they want to stay open, but they don't want to have to, you know, have their employees enforcing this stuff on customers. Yeah. So they just figured the best way to do this is to lock the doors and to go drive-through only. Because why bother? You can't afford to hire anybody else. The place is at a skeleton crew to begin with. And so it keeps it simple. We've seen restaurants doing this around here.
Yeah.
Just because they don't have enough crew.
Yeah. It's not because they have to enforce anything. It's just because they... McDonald's here in Keene closes, from what I can tell, at least twice a week. Like, just doesn't open.
During the day?
At all. Yeah. Wow. From what I can
just
tell.
Just because of staffing issues. So, yeah, it's not like there's a mandate in place here. There's no crazy vaccine mandate here. And it's just, there's just not enough people to work. So there, they just said, you know what, we're going drive-through only, and that's it. In-N-Out Burger, I guess they figured they would just keep it going and see what happened, and now they got shut down, sadly. But at least they're standing up for themselves and speaking out, so kudos.
I mean, it sounds like In-N-Out Burger was treating their staff at least decently, you know, not requiring them to enforce stupid mandates and probably paying them fairly decently. So maybe their staffing issues weren't as bad as they were everywhere else.
No, they were putting everybody at risk.
Well, the woman at the restaurant critic says that they don't care. She says In-N-Out leadership doesn't care about their workers. They don't care about you. She says
they care about their workers enough to say, hey, look, intervening and stopping a customer is a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Then there's viral videos all over the internet showing people exactly how bad it can go. Not to mention, people have died from doing this stuff.
And honestly, I don't need In-N-Out Burger to care about me.
No,
I can care about me.
I mean, don't spit in my food.
If they cared about you, they probably wouldn't be serving you fast food. Let's just be honest. They serve fast food. I think it's a given. They don't care about you.
Yeah. So I'll post this link. When I post the In-N-Out story, I'll also post the hit piece by the San Francisco Chronicle. It's interesting that they chose to do this. They felt like they needed to go and strike out against this company.
To take the time. This person took the time out of their day to write this.
At a restaurant that is closed in the city that this newspaper is printed in.
That's right.
She's almost literally beating a dead horse.
It's like grave dancing, basically.
I'm glad she did it, though, because it was pretty entertaining.
Nothing. I can't imagine any aspect of the racist sandwich podcast is going to be interesting.
Awful.
But, man, just by that name, I'm tempted
to check it out.
I want to know how bad it really is.
Soleil Ho is her name. Last name,
of course,
H-O.
It is. She's also probably trans and an owlkin or something.
Probably. So let's talk about some other good news, Aria. You had a story apparently about some protests, some walkouts happening at hospitals in various different places, I presume?
Yeah, so it doesn't lead off saying where it happened, but hospitals taxed by the pandemic over the last 20 months now have a new problem. Labor strife and a wave of resignations have people waiting longer for care. Exactly what, like we said, would happen when they introduced these mandates. Months of marathon shifts and onslaught of verbal and even physical abuse from patients and the public, and you've talked about this, Nikki.
Yep.
And perennial complaints over low pay and staffing shortages are stirring unrest at a particularly critical moment in the pandemic.
Who do you think has it worse, nurses or fast food workers, as far as like bad customer, you know, behavior?
I don't know. We get like crazy people.
I mean, nurses probably have it worse because we're not trying to save people's lives or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get like legitimate, like mentally ill people.
That's true. Is it worse
so
now?
So do fast food workers.
Because the people that work in hospitality say customers are worse in the last 2 years since COVID because they're, for whatever reason, they're all uppity.
So what's really happening is people are doing more drugs, basically, to cope with the fact that they were put in lockdown and that all this crazy stuff's happening in COVID clown world. So we actually had a lot of people relapsing, people who were clean that started using again because they couldn't go to their AA meetings anymore or they didn't have any of the resources that they were previously
forced to stay at home. They're depressed.
Yeah, so they're depressed. They're isolated
losing
from everybody.
Their job.
So we're seeing a lot of alcoholics coming in, a lot of drug overdoses, and those people tend to be, especially like people withdrawing from alcohol, they tend
angry.
to they're angry, they're confused, they're agitated. So most of the time, they don't know what they're doing. But when you get a giant man swinging at you, it's not pleasant.
No fun. Yeah, and we predicted that would happen with the relapses here early on. It's like, you're going to lock people up, you're going to force them to stay home, they are going to do things to pass the time, and they're going to fall off the wagon.
We had so many more patients fitting that description rather than COVID patients in my hospital.
I believe it.
We had a good, I'm not going to lie, we had a good amount of COVID patients. Yep. I think at our max, we had probably like 40, which I don't work at a big hospital, so...
But the overdoses are probably still coming in.
Yeah, they've been coming in, and they don't stop.
And it's only going to get worse as this proceeds, but there have been at least 30 strikes of healthcare workers so far this year. More than 500,000 healthcare workers quit in August, the last month for which data is available. That's the most in a single month in more than 20 years, because that's what you want in a pandemic going into winter. You want more than a 500,000 healthcare workers to quit.
I wonder if they're quitting because they know the mandates are coming, or they're quitting just because they're sick of it.
I imagine it's a combination of all of it.
Yeah, I think it's mainly burnout. I mean, this has been like, this has been tough these past couple of years.
And now walkouts are happening over the mandates specifically? Is that what...
It gets into some of the reasons why, but it's... It says because of burnout.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Coming up here, if you want, you can join us. Maybe you work in the industry and you want to weigh in. The number is 603-283-6160. Coming up, Nikki, you've got an update on this infrastructure bill that is going to be trillions of dollars. We'll tell you about that coming up as well. It is Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like your country no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where liberty-minded people can come together and leave government overreach behind? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. They start at FreePrivateCities.com and connect via the social media links shown there. All skills will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities open. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build FreePrivateCities.com. FreePrivateCities.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you're invited if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can weigh in on whatever is on your mind. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Nikki.
And Aria.
We're talking about some of the walkouts, the protests that are going on with healthcare workers at hospitals and such. Aria, what's going on?
Well, it doesn't ever actually say that anyone is quitting over the mandates, right? Or the vaccine mandates.
Okay.
It mostly lists burnout as the reason, not getting paid enough, long hours, marathon shifts, angry patients. The resignations and strikes hit as hospitals are dealing with the Delta variant. An influx of chronically ill patients who postponed care last year. A poor decision, and in many states...
Well, hold on. A lot of people didn't postpone care. They weren't allowed to get care, remember?
That's true.
Oh, you need to have this thing fixed? Well, we're not doing that right now. Due to COVID, you'll just have to come back later and have your liver transplant done, or whatever.
Yeah, the elective surgeries, but elective surgeries could mean, like, anything, you know?
Imagine how many people are going to die early because they weren't allowed to do cancer screenings or whatever last year.
Yeah.
How about the people that are going to die because they can't get a kidney transplant because they're not allowed to if they don't have a vaccine? That's a thing now.
Yeah,
that's happened. Nikki, you were saying, I think it was off the air, that was a hospital you know about?
No, I met this man in person, and he was telling me that he needs both of his kidneys replaced and that he was told that unless he gets vaccinated that he can't get his kidney replacement. He'll stay on the list. And he'll slowly work his way up. But once he gets to the top of the list, if he's not vaccinated, they'll skip him and go to the next person.
Because there was a story. I don't know if this is I would guess this isn't the same guy. There was a guy who got a letter or a gal. I don't know who it was because they blanked out the name on the letter. But somebody posted a letter from like the Department of or Colorado something. It was like a Colorado, college hospital or something. And they said exactly the same thing to this person was, okay, we'll still keep you on the list, but unless you get vaccinated, you're never going to get the kidney you want.
Yeah.
Need.
Yeah, right. You need. Yeah. Sorry, your life just isn't that important compared to these people.
despicable.
So it's happened to more than one person, unless that's the same guy, and I doubt that it.
No, it's not the same guy, because this was in Massachusetts. Right. So
these labor issues also come amid a broader staffing crunch that has forced health systems in regions hit hard by the Delta variant.
Oh, but do no harm.
Yeah, right. That's what they say.
That's what they say. It's like the doctor's creed or whatever, right?
So now they have to rely on expensive traveling nurses, the National Guard, or state officials loosening licensing requirements to expand the pool of possible staff.
Well, how are they going to rely on the National Guard when now there's talk, at least, that now they want the National Guard to go to the ports? Because remember,
that's a good point. Yeah.
The ports are also not moving product fast enough. Yeah. Of course, there's not enough trucks to put them on, so that's another problem.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when government gets involved. I had an article about this yesterday, and we just never got into it. Now they're just dumping these cargo containers in front of people's driveways and stuff.
What?
What?
Because they got them off the ships now because Biden was like, keep the port open 24/7.
Yeah.
But they have nowhere to put them. That was what caused them to have to stay out there in the first place. So they're just dumping them in front of people's houses.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
We'll move this when we can. That's the government's solution to this problem, is relocating the problem to your front lawn.
Wow. Wow, that's nuts.
And that's actually happening on the West Coast.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's completely stupid.
And I don't even think they'll have enough National Guard people to do all these jobs.
No.
Because they want them in the hospitals, they want them at the ports, and they want them to drive school buses. So it's like, they're just having them do it. They're probably going to have them start working at the local McDonald's because they don't have enough staff. You know, it's like ridiculous.
I just want to suggest to parents, if you go to put your kid on the school bus one day and you see some military dude there, let your kid stay home that
day. Just don't put them on there ever.
Find a new school.
Yeah, homeschool your kids.
Yeah, you should be doing that before the military shows up. Like, just don't send your kids to government school, period.
Absolutely. So this frustration is translating into organized walkouts across the country. Thousands of workers are striking in some of the nation's largest health systems, none of which have I ever heard of. On Monday, 250 nurses in Chicago's Community First Medical Center voted to go on strike. Hmm. Multiple employees contacted by Politico said healthcare workers feel like they've gone from, quote, heroes to zeros in the eyes of the public, making it harder to tolerate the underlying stresses of the job. And it never actually says that this is because of the mandate.
You're right.
But
you're keeping that out.
But that line right there, that's one of the ones that people who have been protesting the mandates have been saying. So,
I've heard Nikki say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were heroes last year. This year, you're a zero.
Yeah. This year, you're being thrown away, literally, like a tissue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Used up, thrown away.
It got to the point where seeing signs outside the hospitals, "Heroes work here," appeared a little hollow. It's almost like it's been forgotten. Healthcare workers.
It was hollow back then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It always was.
And it was gross.
But now we don't even get the pizza parties. At least during like the beginning, we were getting like monthly pizza parties. No. Now we don't even get that.
Healthcare workers who spoke with Politico said they had hoped to capitalize on the public goodwill they banked at the outset of the health crisis and seize this moment while demand for their services has never been higher. While they acknowledge they may incur public scorn for walking off the job in the middle of the pandemic, they say they have no choice but to exert whatever leverage they have.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really say what they're trying to achieve, but the fact that they're not mentioning that suggests that they're trying to do something about the vaccine mandate. That's just what I'm feeling from this.
So, Nikki, have you heard about any kind of organizing where you work? Is there anything?
Not really where I work, but in St. Vincent's, that's a hospital in Worcester, they've been... I think this still was during COVID, but they've been striking for like almost a year. I think it was because
of working scabs.
It was basically because of staffing conditions, and actually one of our new hires actually came from that hospital because she was like, "Well, I need to start working, and I'm not going to work there," but I can't promise her that this hospital will be any better. I think all of the.
You're about ready to be fired yourself.
Yeah, I guess this is my... Next week's going to be my last week working there, so...
Or at least we'll see how long before they give you the pink slip, right? Because you're just going to wait and see.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, even if these nurses aren't protesting and striking because of the mandates, whether they know it or not, they're still striking and protesting because of the mandates. Because they're already overworked, understaffed, and underpaid, and they're going to lose something like 20% of their coworkers, which is just going to make them... more understaffed, and more overworked?
It's really just a snowball effect, because I know where I work, we've been getting a lot of people quitting and going to better hospitals. I mean, people are literally commuting to Boston, and that's like an hour drive from where I'm at. So people are just looking for better working conditions, and the more people that quit, then nurses are getting mandated to stay for extra shifts. We don't have enough staff.
How long is a typical shift? 12 hours?
8 hours where I work. So instead of working 8 hours, now you're working 16 hours unless you can find somebody to come in early for you. But then in that case, you're still working a 12 to 13 hour shift. So you're working 4 to 8 hours longer than you were expecting to work.
16-hour shifts, I mean, you're talking about mistakes are going to start to be made, right?
Yeah, like people, I mean, people's lives are going to be at stake. That this is not safe. So people are quitting because, I mean, that's ridiculous to expect people to work under these conditions. So it's like the more people that quit, the worse the conditions get, then, you know, it's just, it's a vicious cycle. So I honestly don't see how hospitals are going to stay open for much longer that are running like that.
I imagine a fair bit of them are going to close.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to start seeing those closures and how soon. And
well, I predicted that if they enforced the vaccine mandate where I work, that the hospital was going to close. Because that's like 20% of our staff. But then, you know, I'm being told that some people are actually caving they're scared. I mean, they have kids. They have houses.
They got bills.
They're scared of losing their jobs. And as much as I want to say, no, stand up for what you believe in. Like, this is an important cause. Like, don't back down. I don't have kids. You know, I have a support network that I can fall back on. Not everybody has that. So,
and they know it.
And it's
they know it, these people.
Yeah, and it's disgusting that they're putting people in this position. Yep. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but they don't care.
Nope.
They don't care.
I mean, if they cared, the hospitals would have never been that understaffed and the nurses that underpaid in the first place.
Yeah.
It's all about obedience. They want people to get this this experimental medication. And now, breaking news, as of just a few hours ago, the Food and Drug Administration is now authorizing booster doses of COVID-19 vaccines from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. And now you can mix and match, according to them. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live. Moments remain, but enough time for you. If you want to join us, the number is 603-283-6160. Maybe there's something happening where you work, where people are standing up for themselves, because ultimately that's what it's going to take. It's going to take people who are willing to say no to whatever the mandates are, whether they be vaccine passports or vaccine mandates or whatever we're talking about here. If people don't say no, then they're just going to keep on coming up with new mandates, new businesses that are going to be told to shut down or else. And it's never going to stop. New rules, new regulations, they'll just keep shoving them right down your throat until you go out of business or get gobbled up by a larger competitor or whatever. They don't care what happens to you.
None of this stuff is ever going away.
No. No, I'm sorry, it's not. In fact, there was another something else by, I think it was the FDA, because they're trying to push for kids getting the vaccine, right?
Yep.
Like, that's the next step besides boosters, which
is the
other news.
The least at-risk population, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? And I heard, this is just something, I didn't fact check this, but someone told me that Pfizer was telling the FDA, like, we cannot approve this for kids. We are seeing too many adverse reactions.
Even Pfizer is admitting this?
Even Pfizer was saying, like, we can't give this to little kids.
Well, they're working on it. And the FDA lady or whatever, one of them, was recorded saying, basically, they intend to continue to mandate masks. So if they are going to, even if they vaccinate all these kids, they're still going to have to wear masks after that. So that's not going to get your kids, if you're an obedient serf who does everything the government tells you, and you think that getting your kids vaccinated is going to get them to be able to not wear masks so they can actually see people, like, smiles on their face, see their friends, and connect like a human being again.
This is permanently screwing up so many kids.
All
it's
these
horrifying.
Kids are going to have personality disorders.
Yeah,
they're going to be like sociopaths.
Yeah.
This is not right.
You're supposed to see people's faces.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like,
it's a developmental thing. Yeah. You need to be able to see if an adult is, going to cause you harm or whatever, if somebody's angry at you or you're doing a good thing. You know, you need to have that reaction to be able to experience those nonverbal forms of communication. And they're so important. And that's just all being wiped away. Oh, some kid might get sick. Well, they'll survive.
Yeah. That's what kids do.
But they might not survive the vaccine.
That's what kids do best. Get sick. That's like the whole point, yeah. And that's how they build up their immune systems.
Right. Duh.
I mean, do you remember chickenpox parties?
Yes.
People they don't were do having anymore, their kids sucking on lollipops, and then you'd mail the lollipop to, you know, someone else, mm-hmm. and yeah, that's how you build up immunity.
All of that is just gone. It's been thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And it is an insane world right now.
Yeah.
But let's go on. There's other news, Nikki, that you wanted to share tonight. And this isn't specific to the vaccines, but it is about crazy government spending.
Yeah. So why is the infrastructure bill deciding the fate of cryptocurrency? I mean, I would love to know, considering infrastructure has nothing to do with cryptocurrency. Congress should not be able to decide the fate of the entire crypto industry through a last-minute provision slipped into a must-pass bill.
Well, they can't. They can make a law or whatever, but they
can try.
They don't have the power to determine the fate of cryptocurrency.
So this is a $1 billion or $1 trillion bill that they just keep sneaking more and more things into. I think it has something like over 4,000 pages. So
it's only $1 trillion? I thought it was a $3.5 trillion.
It might be.
Okay.
So the bipartisan infrastructure bill has a new deadline of October 31st. But an important question that still looms is, why is a must-pass bill ostensibly focused on America's infrastructure deciding the fate of cryptocurrencies? If you scroll through the infrastructure bill to page 2,419, yeah, that alone is just telling you how ridiculous this is. 2,419, and that's not even the end. That's just like the middle.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You'll find in section, wait for this. You'll find in section 80,603, where two curious provisions managed to turn the cryptocurrency industry upside down. The first amends that the Internal Revenue Code to redefine the term broker so that it includes any person who is responsible for regularly providing any service, effectuating transfers of digital assets on behalf of another person.
So this is back, basically. The crypto industry was all in a tizzy about this earlier this summer, redefining of broker, and they thought they were going to make some headway, and they were going to beg some politicians, and the politicians were going to listen, and nope.
So in short, this requires not just exchanges like Coinbase or Robinhood to report personal information to the government, but also miners and developers, which honestly doesn't even make sense. Why such an overstep is grounds for objection in and of itself, it's made worse by the fact that it is requiring an impossible standard of reporting. Miners may effectuate transfers, but that is not because someone personally contracted them to do so. Rather, they are simply doing their part to validate the blockchain, and the blockchain itself is publicly available. The government is able, just like anyone else, to see the limited information that miners have. At best, this requirement represents a fundamental misunderstanding of the cryptocurrency industry.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Are you telling me that politicians don't understand cryptocurrency? And they're going to write laws about it?
Well, the letter they wrote to Mark Zuckerberg clearly showed they understand cryptocurrency.
You're joking.
Absolutely, okay, I'm joking.
Yeah, these people are a bunch of old people who have no clue.
No clue what they're talking about.
The internet's a series of tubes.
That's right.
Right. So at best, this is just showing their fundamental misunderstanding of the cryptocurrency industry. At worst, it sets a de facto ban on mining and other routine activities in the industry. Scroll through another couple pages and you'll see where matters get worse. The bill also seeks to include digital assets, i.e. cryptocurrencies, NFTs, and the like, in section 60,501 of the IRC. At first glance, that probably does not sound very intimidating. However, if we turn the IRC itself, the magnitude of this amendment becomes clear. The section in question requires any business transaction of $10,000 or more in cash to be reported to the government along with name, address, and social security number of the payer. Failure to do so within 15 days can result in fines and even felony charges. Without even a notice to the public, the infrastructure bill would require the same reporting on digital assets.
Presumably, if you're moving $10,000 worth of cryptocurrency from one point to another, you would have to report it.
Yeah.
Or the miners would? It's unclear.
Yes.
Both, but the miners wouldn't be able to, I don't think, right?
No, because they wouldn't have that information.
Exactly. So it just shows that they have no clue what they're talking about, or I don't know.
It's hard to know how this will be interpreted and what all this is going to mean.
It sounds unenforceable.
It is unenforceable. I mean,
well, they can make Coinbase and them enforce it, but they're already doing the bidding of government.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it'll be mostly unenforceable until they find somebody they want to enforce it on, in which case then they'll enforce the crap out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll get all the information that person has from all the centralized exchanges, and they'll just go whole hog on that one individual or that company or whatever, whoever they want to pick on.
Yeah.
It would be hard for them to prove, though.
But that's what it seems like they're trying to do. So the article also continues to say that the committee estimated that the new reporting requirements could yield $28 billion over the course of a decade. That $28 billion created a challenge when senators tried to amend the bill to remove the section on cryptocurrencies. If the section was removed, they would have needed to scramble to find a new source of $28
billion. $28 billion is like chump change for these people.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Why are they even bothering?
And where are they getting this number from? Do they know that this is exactly, if they were to tax cryptocurrency, this is what they would get?
Nah, they would have no idea.
And
they
also,
have no clue.
It kind of seems like a lowball.
It might be.
There's literally no way to tell.
It's all about obedience. We want you to fill out more forms. We want you to make cryptocurrency more difficult to use because they don't want people using cryptocurrency.
Right.
That's what this is about. Because if it's about $28 billion, they can just send a notice to the Treasury Department and tell them to get some Federal Reserve notes going and increase the money supply of $28 billion. So it's not about that. It's about obedience.
Well, it's a $1 trillion infrastructure bill.
Yeah.
And in there, they're trying to raise $28 billion.
Right.
I can already see a problem. I mean, $28 billion, as you pointed out, that's nothing to them. How quickly do they spend money?
Fast.
I think it's a few billion every second or something.
I don't know. There's a website called Debt Clock, U.S. Debt Clock, which it's just cranking away constantly.
It's constantly going faster and faster.
I'm so glad that I don't care. And I'm so glad that I don't care that they're destroying the USD. I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, they increased debt ceiling. Remember they had that whole debt ceiling deadline thing like a week ago?
Did they increase it?
They increased it by like 400 and something billion dollars, and it's only going to make it to December 3rd. Then they're going to go through the whole thing again in like, 6 weeks? Five?
Something like that?
Yeah, so 6 weeks. You do the math. What does that break down to? $80 million or $80 billion a week or something like that?
Incompetent.
All right, there's more coming up here tomorrow. We'll see you online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com.
We'd like to invite you to visit freekeen.com. Freekeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. FreeKeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. FreeKeen.com.